Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me today is senior industry analyst for Covers.com, my man, Jason Logan. You can follow him on Twitter at CoversJLo. Jason, great to have you back on the show.
Yeah, man, this is the exciting week. We've never kind of had a week like this. Usually it's like week four preseason garbage games and finding out who's going to get in and who's not going to get in. And then you get thrown right into week one, but we get this buffer period now, which is kind of nice.
Yes. And what we're going to be talking about today is we are going to go rapid fire and give a nugget on every single NFL team to help get you ready for the NFL season. So without further ado, let's start with the AFC East, and the format will be I'll tee up the team, you give a nugget. If I've got a nugget to respond back to, we'll go with that. But let's start with the Buffalo Bills.
The Buffalo Bills, big high expectations here. Buffalo obviously is one of those Super Bowl contenders, one of the favorites to win the AFC here, but they're a favorite in all but two games in 2021. And those two contests come on the road against teams featured in Super Bowl last year, and that was Kansas City and Tampa Bay. But the Bills just aren't handing out a little bit of points here. They're boasting an average spread of 6.5 in those 15 games as the favorites. And they are point spread favorites of -6 or more in 11 games. And that may scare off some people. But since McDermott took over there on the sideline, Buffalo 9-0 straight up, 6-3 ATS when laying 6 or more points, including 3-2 ATS last year, which is a positive trend if you're also playing over their 11 wins this season.
For me, what I believe in is Sean McDermott and the culture that the Bills have built there. It doesn't mean that this year is going to go absolutely perfect, but from a long-term standpoint, I do like what they're building. All right, let's move over to the Patriots, who have just made a lot of noise getting rid of Cam Newton. Mac Jones is the starter.
Yeah, and anyone that thinks there's a big swing in odds here between Cam Newton or the ghost of Cam Newton, as I would always say, and then a rookie QB, I don't think this moves the line at all. There may have been some knee jerks out there, but I don't think it changes really anything. I'm kind of high on the Patriots this year. I'm not going to get caught up in what happened in 2020. So you had like COVID-19 obviously disrupted the whole process, disrupted Belichick's process, and he's a process guy. And then they had a lot of key players sitting out. And then the franchise was also coming to terms with losing Tom Brady. You lose a guy that's won you so many games. And then they really lacked a lot of talent at the skill position. But if you look at them, though, they had 4 one-score losses on the books, and they finished 7-9. So you flip those games, and it's a much more positive schedule for them. I like them to make the playoffs this year. And the yes out there to make the playoffs is around +135. 2020 with Pats, they're in much better shape. You got a rookie QB in Mac Jones who looks pretty good out there. And we've seen some of these rookie QBs perform really high. But he has some safer targets. He has two great tight ends around him, Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith, and then Nelson Agholor is coming off a career year in Vegas. So I'm high on the Patriots, or maybe higher than most on the Patriots this year.
Key for them, they have one of the best offensive lines in the NFL, which will be very good for protecting a rookie quarterback. All right, moving over to the Miami Dolphins, a team that a lot of people think is going to take the next step. Certainly, if they're going to do so, it's going to be on Tua's evolution as a quarterback.
Yeah, I think, and also too with them, last year this defense was just so disruptive and they really thrived on turnovers and causing chaos, as I like to say. And that's a tough thing to replicate year after year, is creating those turnovers and those game-swinging defensive plays. If you look at their schedule here, the front of the schedule is kind of make or break for Miami. They have 4 of their first 6 games coming away from home. I'm high on the Patriots, like I said. I'm also high on the Raiders. Those are two games there, two road games that are out in front of them. And then they got to play in London in week 6 as well, too, which is really tough. So I could see them maybe falling flat out of the gate and failing to live up to those expectations. And the bulk of their games as a favorite comes in the second half of the schedule. Miami's given the points in 5 of its final 7 games. It's playing at home in 4 of those closing contests as well, too. So under Brian Flores, the Dolphins are 4-2 straight up, 5-1 ATS at home between week 11 and week 17. So he's a guy that can kind of get this team peaking at the right time. Maybe they make a push for the postseason. I'm actually down on Miami this year.
I'm not really sure what to make about the running back situation or Will Fuller. He's sexy when he plays, but he's oft injured.
When he plays, what, four games a year? So.
Exactly. And then wrapping up this division, we've got the Jets, who are pretty much starting anew again. Welcome to the culture of the New York Jets.
Yeah, yeah. Robert Saleh definitely has a big mess to clean up after what Gase left there. But you got a rookie quarterback, and it is going to be a big culture shift. And I think he's kind of a rah-rah coaching style that can coach up this team. And you know, they don't have to make a huge leap. Baby steps forward is going to be positive. New York's getting more than a field goal in 9 of their contests, and they're plus 6.5 or higher in five of their outings this year. In 2 painful seasons under Gase, they were an underdog of plus 6.5 or higher 21 times, and they went just 8-13 ATS with all those added points. So, I mean, the coaching bar is set pretty low here, but if Saleh can actually flip some of those big point spreads into paydays, he might win over some football bettors.
The thing on my mind with this team is being careful with rookie quarterbacks. We've got Zach Wilson, where we know that they're going to make mistakes, but it's so easy for us to think everyone becomes Justin Herbert. So I'm going to be careful on the narrative surrounding this rookie quarterback, because I'm not sure what to expect. And when you have uncertainty as a bettor, that's never a good thing. So let's move this over to the AFC North. And we have the team some are picking for the Super Bowl. I can't believe we're about to say this. The Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, I mean, Cleveland is one of the better two-way teams out there. You look at their defense, they have a dangerous defense. They have some guys that can get to the quarterback. And then that offense is just going to be awesome. And that's even if Odell Beckham is mediocre. You know, you just put them on the field and this offense is going to hum. 11-5 record last year, and under year one under Stefanski. So, what that speaks to is that just the talent level of this team. They had a brand new coach, and then they didn't have any of the preseason prep. They didn't have, full camp and preseason games to learn this new system. And they went out and won 11 games. So, I think they pick up where they left off, and the sky's the limit for this team. They finished with a 9-7 over-under count in the regular season last year. They leaned over at home 5-3 over-under. But despite all the firepower on this roster and the Browns ranking 6th in the EPA per play last year, the bookies have been a little stingy with their totals, their look-ahead totals out there. Cleveland has only 4 games with totals of 48 points or more, and none of those games come against the AFC North. And divisional games have been awesome here for overbettors when it comes to the Cleveland Browns. Dog pound, they are 11-6 over-under in divisional matchups since 2018. And that including a 4-2 over on account last season. So good things, big point spreads, and maybe more of an opportunity to bet over with Cleveland with all that firepower.
I'll be interested to see what happens for Odell Beckham Jr. as it relates to the culture side of things, because he can be disruptive if he's not getting his way. And we see they've got amazing running backs. They've got stability with Jarvis Landry at wide receiver, good offensive line. And if Odell's not getting his, you're like, well, how does this blow up? He just sort of finds a way to turn that screw a little bit where something that could be, hey, Super Bowl bound turns into the Odell Beckham show.
Well, they proved last year they don't need Odell. You know, he's just a cherry on top of the sundae. And with guys like Landry and with that running back core there too, they don't need Odell to be. They're not the New York Giants. So,
and that's actually a problem if they say we don't need the guy who could be the potentially most disruptive. Watch out there. So let's move over to the Baltimore Ravens, who unfortunately started the year with J.K. Dobbins, their lead running back, going down. What are your thoughts on Baltimore?
Yeah, and they're one of these teams, too, really high in the AFC futures, really high on the Super Bowl board. One of the they're up there. There's good price on them to kind of win the division, plus 120, depending on where you bet right there. And it's a really, really tough division, given how good Cleveland can be. And I'm not counting out Pittsburgh, and we'll get to them. The Ravens actually get the second toughest schedule in the NFL. But Baltimore kind of spits in the face of that. They're favorites in 15 of their 17 games in 2021. There's a pick 'em on the board as well, too, for that week 2 game against Kansas City. And the spread count includes 7 road games as gambling chalk. They're actually going to be 7 times their road favorites in 2 full seasons with Lamar Jackson as the quarterback in that system. They're 12-1 straight up, 9-4 ATS as road favorites. Baltimore's 2021 slate as well boasts an opponent win percentage of 0.563. And the non-divisional foes are headlined by a number of top teams. So you got guys like Kansas City, Green Bay, and the LA Rams, who I'm really, really high on this year. However, all three of those marquee matchups come at home. So Baltimore does have a chance to make the most of those games.
It would seem like right now would be a good opportunity to buy low on the Ravens given the injury, but I'm not sure how much J.K. Dobbins to Gus Edwards to no. what's behind Gus Edwards, because I think now we're chopping down the depth and that becomes more of the issue as opposed to what was mm-hmm. the potential ceiling. So moving on to the Pittsburgh Steelers, what do we got on Pittsburgh?
Yeah, and I, you know, a lot of people are kind of poo-pooing Ben Roethlisberger, but this guy is still a better quarterback than probably half the other quarterbacks in the league right now, even at, what is he, like 42, 40-something? He's pretty much my age, which makes me feel better about myself. But the Steelers are point spread favorites in 9 of their 17 games in 2021. They're a pick'em on the board there for a late-season matchup with Cleveland. But the front half of the slate features 4 of their first 6 contests inside Heinz Field before a bye in Week 7. Pittsburgh actually plays 6 of its first 9 games at home, and that sets up the Steelers to kind of build some momentum like they did last year. Where did they go, 11-0 or something like that right out of the gate? It was they went from kind of a mid-tier team, no one really knew where they were, to like one of the Super Bowl favorites because of that run. Obviously, the schedule was a little softer then, but under Mike Tomlin, Pittsburgh is 82-30 straight up, and they're 59-50-3 against the spread. It's covering 54% of the time, including a 10-6 ATS mark at home the past 2 seasons. So they have been a good bet at home, and they get a really home-friendly schedule out of the stretch here. I think that's going to warm them up to this offense, and they still is a defense that needs to be feared too.
For me, be careful on the media narrative of Pittsburgh. Everything I'm hearing is saying they're done. And anytime that I hear something where overwhelmingly everyone says one thing, remember, this is a team that still has a potentially elite defense. Yes, they lost Bud Dupree, but Alex Highsmith has the ability to come in. And I still believe that this defense can keep them in games. Last in this
division. Yeah, and Tomlin is... Oh, never mind. I was going to say Tomlin is a Hall of Fame coach here too. So let's not discount anything that he's done.
Right. With no seasons with a losing record. So it's very easy to be like, yeah, they're not going to be good, but I see all of the pieces there. It's almost like we want Pittsburgh to not be good because we're tired of that narrative. And speaking of a new narrative in Cincinnati, everyone's like, boom, here's Joe Burrow. But here's the thing. He's coming back off of injury. It's going to take a little bit. I don't know if the ceiling is going to get reached this year.
Yeah, Cincinnati's a tough one. And you look at their season win total, it says 6.5. And I look at that and I'm like, how do you get 7? How are you going to, if you're going to bet the over here, you're betting on 7 wins from Cincinnati? I mean, the divisional calendar alone, you look at like the Ravens and the Steelers and the Browns alone, they could go 0-6 straight up in the division, and then you're scratching and clawing. And then you look at the number of capable quarterbacks on their schedule. They play guys like Kirk Cousins, Roethlisberger twice. They got Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson twice, Baker Mayfield twice. Play Derek Carr, Justin Herbert, and then they have Patrick Mahomes on that schedule list too. So you know, I'm an LSU fan, and I'm really rooting for Joe Burrow, but I just don't see Cincinnati getting to that 6.5 win total. I mean, if you can play some adjusted win totals out there, you might even want to take them like under 5. So.
If anything, I would be looking to Cincinnati later in the year when maybe Joe Burrow's a little bit healthier. Maybe Ja'Marr Chase gets his sea legs under him, speaking of LSU. All right, moving on to the AFC South, a division where there's a lot of uncertainty. And let's start with Indianapolis, where heading into the year, everyone's like, I love me some Colts. Carson Wentz gets injured. Quentin Nelson gets injured. We don't really know what to expect there. They had a good makeup of an offensive line, but then they lose their left tackle, and it just doesn't seem like this offseason has started the way everybody wanted it to for the Colts.
Man, and T.Y. Hilton goes down as well, and you may kind of poo-poo T.Y. Hilton's production in recent years, but, I mean, he's playing with his 4th quarterback in 4 years, and you saw him kind of catch fire at the end of last year. He and Phillip Rivers started getting something going there. But, I mean, just to look at to prove the uncertainty around this team, you look at the lines, look at the look-ahead lines for the Colts right now, and it's dead numbers all over the place. And what that tells you is that books have no idea what this team is going to do. And depending on how it goes in the first few weeks of the season, those dead numbers are going to move quickly to key numbers or past key numbers as people react. So you've seen a lot of 2.5s and 4.5s and 5s, and I think there's even an 8.5 line out there, which is kind of a unicorn line. And people, are, like I said, they're just going to wait and see how bad the damage is here. This offense is now behind schedule. Wentz didn't get to play in any preseason games. I think he's on a COVID list as now as well. So he misses 3 weeks because of this, the foot injury, and now he's got to wait another week to get back out there. I will say, though, Frank Reich has kind of made the most of this bad situation since Andrew Luck bailed on the team. Indy 24-8, straight up 17-14-1 ATS as a favorite, including 7-4 ATS as road chalk. They've been pretty good on the road when giving the points. However, they're only laying the points in two games this season. They're -6.5 at Houston in week 13 and the -1 at Jacksonville in the week 18 finale, which is one of those games where you don't know if they're going to be resting everyone or what the situation is with this team. But, I mean, just look at their look ahead lines and you can tell where odds makers stand on the Colts. They have no idea.
Yeah, and with the Colts, I'm looking for them to get off to a slow start in the first four games and maybe starting in week five, jump back when everybody gets off of them. The team that now looks like they are the favorites to win the division is, well, it has been, the Titans, and they have all the opportunity in the world. What are your thoughts on Tennessee?
Yeah, there's a couple big questions with them. Is like, what's life after Arthur Smith? Because he just made the most out of this offense, made, you know, brought Ryan Tannehill back from the dead. And then the defense has been really bad and hasn't been a dangerous defense. They need them to do something because this team is going to score a lot of points. And you have Derrick Henry is essentially an automatic first down every few runs. So the Titans find themselves giving the points 9 of their 17 games in 2021. They have had strength of schedules, T13, kind of middle of the road. But only three times do those spreads stray more than half a point past a field goal. So some, you know, not giant piles of chalk here for a team that's really capable of putting up points. However, under Vrabel, they have struggled as a favorite, 11-15-1 ATS when giving the points since 2018. And then when you tighten those lines to short kind of games that could maybe swing either way, these, you know, -3.5 or shorter, the Titans shrink as well too. They're just 4-8-1 ATS. Versus spreads of -3.5 or shorter. And they went 0-3 against those type of spreads last season.
I'm going to be a little bit cautious on the Titans. There's just something about my spider sense that says it seems so obvious they get Julio. It seems so sexy. But I just don't know if I'm ready to believe that they are this rock of stability. And I think your stat about them as favorites really speaks to it. Let's move on.
Right now you get the -110 to win the division, which is not bad. Not bad.
All right, let's move on to the bottom of this division, and hopefully we can go quick because there is nothing sexy about this. We've got the Texans, and really my only narrative around this is there anything here of note for us?
Yeah, it really, the betting the Texans is going to depend on how bad the Texans are. But you look at teams with like really bad win totals over the last few years and they've done okay. You got guys like the Dolphins in 2019, the Cardinals in 2019, they had win totals of 5.5. They finished 9-7 ATS, 9-5-2 ATS. The Browns in 2018, they had a really low win total. They finished 10-6 ATS. And then the Jets in 2017, they had a win total of just 4.5 and they finished 9-6-1 as well too. They've all kind of finished in the black. So there is something to be said. And I always say, wait for those opportunities when really terrible teams flip and become really great bets because there's a ton of points hitting them. And the Texans are already seeing that as well too. I think maybe the best opportunity is looking at their totals. And they have seven games just north of 48 points. Obviously, Deshaun Watson isn't going to be there. And the offense was, you know, their best skill player is Brandon Cooks, I guess. That's their best flashy guy. A kind of a cool historic trend here. So Houston's already being handed four double-digit spreads. More than likely, there's going to be more in the way. I think there's two on the board at +9.5 as well, too. And if you look at NFL games with 10 points or more in terms of spreads, 73-114-1 over-under since 2015. That's going under 61% of the time. And if you look at just last year in double-digit spread games, the under was 23-9 in those. The under scored in 72% of those games.
All right, now let's move over to Jacksonville, where the big narrative is a lot of newness. We got Trevor Lawrence at quarterback, Urban Meyer at head coach. And for me, the big narrative is the transition for Urban Meyer from college to NFL.
Yeah, and that college style hasn't kind of been taken as well as it may have thought. You know, he's using that kind of that rah-rah college style, and some of the pros and the grown men on the team aren't going to respond to that. They don't like being treated like 18, 19, 20-year-old kids. And if they have a slow start, it's not going to get any easier here. So the 2021 schedule is kind of backloaded with road contests for the Jaguars. They're a visitor in four of their final six outings. And if we look at them under four full years under Doug Marrone, Jacksonville just went 2-8 straight up, 4-6 ATS, 3-7 over under on the road between week 13 and week 17. Obviously, the Jags weren't in postseason position at those in those stages, so there could be kind of a theory that they were tanking, and they might be doing it this year too. If they stumble out of the blocks and then face this tough schedule to close out the season, you could see them kind of maybe pulling back a little bit, getting a look at some of the younger guys on the team and hoping that they're going to get like a number two or number three pick. Because I don't think anyone's going to finish worse than Houston.
All right, let's move over to the AFC West, where we've got the Chiefs, the team that will continue to be Super Bowl favorites.
Yeah, it's tough not to like the Chiefs again. And then, you know, do they have a chip on their shoulder after losing in the Super Bowl last year, or, you know, do they fall to that Super Bowl hangover? I don't think so with this team. One future bet that I really love with them, and I do like them to get back to the Super Bowl. I think they're plus 250 to win the AFC right now. But one that I really like is these possible Super Bowl matchups, and you can get them versus the Rams at 26-1, which is pretty good. And the reason I like it is I'm quite high on both teams, but it does kind of set up for maybe a hedge on that championship Sunday if you've got one of those teams already, and then you can cover your butt in that late championship game. Of course, you know, the week one game is going to be awesome. Right out of the slate, we see this team get tested and they get that rematch with Cleveland. And it also brings up that harrowing Super Bowl hangover here. Super Bowl losers just 9-12 straight up and 5-16 in week one ATS of the following season. So do they cover? I think the spread's sitting around what, 6.5? It was like 7.5. It's a bigger spread. And we talked about how good Cleveland is going to be here. So
let's move over to Denver, where there's a narrative that they're going to be better than everybody thinks. We got Teddy Two Gloves, who's going to bring some stability. Not exactly the sexiest thing, but you hear this Denver team is so good. If they only had a quarterback, they'd be Super Bowl contenders. Are we really buying Denver that much?
The defense, like Vic Fangio's defense, is going to be good again. They're going to be good. And then you got Teddy Bridgewater, and as bettors know, this guy is usually, I call him the ATS ATM, because he's gone 36-14 ATS as all time as a starter in his career. And Denver too, getting some respect as well. Their point spreads in 9 of their 17 games. And they're chalking 3 straight outings to start the season as well too. So there could be some big things here. One of my favorite spot bets of, you know, the last 21 years, basically, is betting on Denver in their home opener, because there's a good narrative. There's a lot of teeth to this trend. Denver is 18-3 straight up, and they're 13-4-4 ATS as home openers since 2000. And the narrative here is that it's early in the season and opponents aren't in full regular season fitness, and they've got to go up the mountain and play in the thin air in Mile High, and it's a test. I think right now they're giving 5.5 to the Jets. That might be even climbing past 6. If you see the 5.5 out there with Denver, you want to grab it before it gets to that key number. And that's one of the few bets that I've already made, and made that one a while ago, and it was under that -6.
I will be making that immediately upon being done with this podcast.
We can pause things and you can punch that one in.
I'm in. All right, let's move over to the Raiders. And for them, they're my shiny object team, because the media is always going to want them to be better. John Gruden's there. They're always going to get it. But year after year, they just haven't seen or found a way to get to that next level. They're like this 500 team that everyone wants to be a playoff team. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think I'm higher on the Raiders than a lot of people are. They made some hires on defense that is at least going to allow that defense to push back a little bit, or at least not allow like home run plays. They're going to protect against those. And the one thing I'm really interested in looking at this year is the home field advantage when it comes to Las Vegas. And this is something that we saw in the NHL when the Golden Knights showed up there and teams started getting the Vegas flu, if you know what I mean. And now that COVID restrictions are pulled back and guys are going to be able to do these things, not like last year when they were playing in empty stadiums there in that brand new stadium in Las Vegas. But I am really interested to see how home field, if there's anything that kind of bubbles up that way with them. You know, you got a retooled offensive line. You got a new defensive coordinator. They're going to be tested here out of the opening games. They play Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and Miami right out of the gate. And those are three very good defenses and three capable offenses, especially Baltimore. So this is the with I was about to say Oakland with Las Vegas. They're that one team that I may kind of wait until week four or beyond. I think October is going to be knee-jerk reaction time, and I think there's going to be some advantageous spreads with them, especially if they're slow against three really good opponents out of the gate.
We have the Chargers, who no longer have Anthony Lynn. They've got a quarterback that many think is going to take yet another leap. He had a fantastic start to the year. What's up with the Chargers?
Yeah, and the thing with them, too, is that it's a full coaching overhaul. Lynn is out. And so that you got a brand new head coach, brand new coordinator, brand new defense. They're flipping. I think they're going 3-4 now. They're flipping that. So they got to grow up really quick. And then you have a compressed preseason where you only have three games to get used to those things. And this is what their slate looks out right out of the gate. They're at Washington versus Dallas, at Kansas City versus Las Vegas versus Cleveland, at Baltimore. And then they get a bye in week 7. That is an uphill climb for any team, regardless of what your situation is. But if we look at them here, one trend that I love with the Chargers, and it even goes back to their time in San Diego, they're 16-2, but they're 16-21 ATS when giving the points. Not a great favorite. However, since moving to LA, this team is 11-5-3 ATS as a road underdog in the regular season. And if you want to go back to 2000, that goes back to that time in San Diego. The franchise is 21-11-7 ATS as a road underdog visiting divisional opponents. And so they're probably going to get some tasty spreads there on the road against the rest of the AFC West as well.
Let's move over to the NFC, and let's start with your division, and let's start with the Washington football team. And my number one narrative is I don't trust Ryan Fitzpatrick. I know that he is what he is, but we continue to think that just because he can be a gunslinger, that all of a sudden he's the stability they need for a team that has a really good defense that made the playoffs last year.
Yeah, and it's you know, that's the big question. Obviously, he's a better setup than the who did they have last year? They had the young kid from Ohio State out there. He didn't work out, and then they had didn't they have like two Carolina cats? I don't know who they had.
They had Kyle Allen. They had Tyler Heineke.
Yeah, that's right. They had all the backups from Carolina.
Quarterbacks.
They're a tough team to peg, but the defense is so, so good with them. And then you never know what the NFC East is going to look like. I expect the Eagles to kind of struggle out of the gate. The Giants are the Giants sometimes. And Dallas is, it really depends on Dak. Washington's a point spread favorite in just three games this season, but they also have 9 spreads as an underdog of a field goal or fewer. So books are not writing them off here. And their season win total is at 8. So if you measure those point spreads against kind of their win total, you're like, what's going on here? The football team, they got the points 14 of their 17 games in 2020, and that included the playoffs. And they came away with a 9-5 ATS mark in those games, including 4-2 ATS when pegged as a pup of 3 points or less. So they have those short spreads. And this is a team that last year was able to cover those short spreads basically on the strength of that defense.
Yeah, I like Ryan Fitzpatrick as a short spread underdog more so than I do a short spread favorite. Let's move over to Philadelphia, where the team is slated to not really be that good. And I'm curious your thoughts. It's the Jalen Hurts era, and there's not a lot of great pieces there. So the narrative of Philly is just sort of blah.
Yeah, and then they went out and grabbed Gardner Minshew, so that makes you kind of you scratch your head when you think about, you know, how's Jalen Hurts progressing here and what's their confidence in him? And Philly's already catching plenty of points in 21. They have 8 spreads of plus 3.5 or higher, 3 at plus 6.5 or more. And under Peterson, the Eagles were 8-5 ATS when catching plus 6.5 or higher from the bookies. But again, this is a team with a complete overhaul in coaching. You're starting over from scratch. And they have kind of an uphill climb. The Eagles are one of these teams that I think they're going to do much better. Their schedule is really front loaded with some tough games. But I think as they get used to the coaching staff, and if Hurts is progressing, if Hurts is their guy, they're going to be a team to maybe look at in the second half of the schedule. And they play a lot of divisional games in the second half of the schedule as well, too. And those are matchups of teams that you know. And of course, the NFC East doesn't have the toughest pushback. One thing that has popped up with this team is come late November, December, it does improve. And we've seen that the Eagles, they're going to be kind of up to speed on that system. And like I said, they face that softer schedule. And home field advantage has been big for Philadelphia, especially come November and December when the cold kind of East Coast winter sets in there. Under Peterson, which was 2016 to 2020, Philadelphia was 8-3 straight up. They went 7-4 ATS at home between week 13 and week 17. So I think there is going to be some late season value here for Philadelphia.
Looking over at the Giants, and it seems like no one wants to root for Daniel Jones. That Saquon Barkley, I mean, just the narrative around Daniel Jones from a media perspective is throw him in the trash. Saquon Barkley coming back from injury. And I feel like this is a team that I'm not excited about in the least bit, but based on the expectations, they've got a great opportunity to be better than everybody thinks, even if I don't understand how that's going to happen.
Yeah, their defense was sneaky good last year, and that was one thing that kind of went under the radar with the Giants, and it made them a pretty good bet, was that defense was pretty good. But I think really the health of Saquon Barkley is the big question here, and he's a guy that just makes everyone better around him because he is so versatile and he can break off those big plays, and he's a guy that has to be accounted for, and he comes in healthy-ish. You know, he's not 100%, that's for sure. New York is getting more than a field goal in 7 of their dozen games as underdogs this season. And 6 of those games come away from home. But in 2 years with Daniel Jones, since they brought in Daniel Jones as they drafted him as their QB, they're 9-3 ATS when catching 3.5 points or more on the road, including 5-1 ATS last year. Like I said, a lot of that had to do with the defense. However, you look at their non-conference games here with the Giants have been just poison. They are 2-6 straight up, 1-7 ATS versus AFC opponents the past 2 seasons. And this year they have kind of a tough AFC slate here. They have 4 games against the AFC West. And then because of the extra game this year, they actually play against Miami. So some 4 tough teams in the AFC West. And then you throw in the chaotic Dolphins in there as well, too.
Let's move over to your Dallas Cowboys, and stop me if you've heard this before, but the Cowboys are supposed to be good and they're supposed to win this division. How in the world does this not happen?
Yeah. I mean, really, really hanging on Dak's health. That's the biggest thing here. And, you know, the books are kind of being a little bit bearish with them. They're not full on buying into Dallas. They're plus 140 to win the division. It's kind of, you know, it's a tight bunch there. And as we've seen with the NFC East, teams that finish last can finish first the next year. They're faves in just 10 of their 17 games. And that's pretty much right on their win total of 9.5 victories here. They're dishing out more than a field goal in 7 of the contests that they are favored. And since Dak took over in 2016, the team is 17-12-1 ATS when laying 3.5 points or more. December, though, is really – this is the make or break time for this team. December football has always been bad for Dallas. I always say they're Grinchish in the way that they dig into your Christmas funds. So since 2016 – they are 6-7 straight up, 4-8-1 as a visitor between week 13 and week 17. So, you know, you're going back to that late season calendar. And if you want to go all the way back to 2000, so from 2000 to 2020, they are 19-34-2 ATS on the road in the final 5 weeks of the regular season. That's covering just 36%. So it's watch out for Dallas, maybe play against Dallas late in the season and save yourself some pain.
Let's move over to the NFC North. We've got the Chicago Bears, where I'm not overly impressed by what they're doing. Everyone wants me to fall in love with the fact that they drafted Justin Fields. I get it, but have the Bears really made themselves that much better?
No, I mean, I think over time he's going to be better than the Dalton, Nick Foles rollout that you have going. But, I mean, just look at their schedule. Regardless of any improvements that you made, their schedule is nasty. They have the 3rd toughest strength of schedule out there. And the look-ahead spreads kind of reflect that. They're set as underdogs in 13 of their 17 games this season. And that really doesn't – it's not going to matter who they have under center in those games. And the totals also kind of reflect that QB situation as well, too. Chicago seeing only two totals of 47 points or more, eight numbers of 45 points or less. And if you look at under Matt Nagy since 2018, the Bears 16-20 over under versus totals of 45 or shorter, including 4-6 over under last season. And then life of the NFC North is never tough, is never easy as well too. And Bears bettors have found that out the past two seasons. Chicago just 4-8 ATS. They went 6-6 straight up versus divisional opponents, including just 2-4 ATS last season against the rest of the NFC North.
You know what else isn't easy? Trusting Kirk Cousins. Because when you look at the Minnesota Vikings, they have everything you would want for a team that can be good. I feel like they could beat the Chiefs and they could lose to the Jets. And you're like, Kirk Cousins, what's going on?
Yeah, I'm high on Minnesota this year. I think their defense is going to be fantastic. And when Kirk Cousins is good, he's really, really good. And they have all the weapons around him. There's no excuse this season for him not to be great. Schedule is tough for them though. Fifth toughest schedule, but they're favorites in only seven of their 17 games this year. However, Minnesota is an underdog of plus three or lower in seven games. And then they also have a pick 'em on the board for week six in Carolina. So, books aren't writing them off here. You may not see them as a favorite in a lot of games, but they're going to be short underdogs. And then, Mike Zimmer is Coach Zimmer is just he is betting royalty, essentially. So since he took over the Vikings, they are 66-45-1 ATS in the regular season. That's covering 59.5% of the time. And that includes a 34-21-1 ATS count at home. That's almost 62%. And so they cover the spread. You're going to get fans back in the stands there in Minnesota as well, too. So that should add.
All right, moving over to the Detroit Lions, and they are arguably going to be one of, if not the worst teams in football. They've got a good offensive line, but in comes Jared Goff, in comes a new quarterback, DeAndre Swift already a little bit dinged up. Not a lot of sunshine and rainbows in Detroit at the current moment.
No. And then on top of all of that overhaul and the, losing Stafford, sending Stafford, not losing Stafford. I mean, they made the deal, but granting him his exile from Detroit, they have a terrible, terrible schedule too. I think their strength of schedule is like tied for sixth. And they're a point spread underdog in all 17 games this year. And the Lions are getting more than a touchdown in 10 contests, including each of their first three games right out of the gate. Under Matt Patricia, they were underdogs of seven or more 11 times, and the team went just 4-7 ATS as a dog of plus 7.5 or higher since 2008. So, it's a glaring trend when you look at the rest of the league and how big underdogs did during that span. So outside of Detroit, underdogs of plus 7.5 or higher were a collective 98-82-3 ATS. They covered 56% of the time. But you look at Detroit, like I said, they went 4-7 ATS with that same amount of points. So there's a big culture overhaul that has to happen here. And I don't know if Jared Goff's the guy to do it.
We've got a last dance scenario in Green Bay, potentially the last season for Aaron Rodgers, maybe Devontae Adams. But that doesn't mean that there's still not a huge opportunity for a team that was one game away from going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and this is a team too. They have a really tough schedule, and I'm a little cautious of Green Bay because of some of the drama that comes along with it. And if they lose a few games that they shouldn't, then maybe the rumbling starts again and the finger pointing starts again. And the Packers have some pretty lofty expectations here too. They're point spread favorites in 14 of their 17 games, including all eight contests inside Lambeau Field. Now, Green Bay was 5-3 ATS as a home favorite in 2020. They're 10-6 ATS as home chalk in the regular season the past 2 years under LaFleur. And if you want to go back to the 2008 season, which is when Rodgers took over the QB job one and they told Favre to kick rocks, the Packers are 55-34-3 ATS as home favorites. That's covering over 61% of the time. So there's a lot of debate about how much home field advantage is worth. And I think Lambeau is one of those places where you see home field advantage be worth around that 3.5 or that 3 points or maybe even more.
All right, moving on. Let's get to the New Orleans Saints. And we're sitting there with Jameis Winston, looks like to be the presumed starter here. Michael Thomas starting on the pup list. But you've still got Sean Payton. Mm-hmm. You've still got a good all-around team. I actually see all narratives available for this squad.
Yeah, but now you throw in this thing where because of the hurricane in New Orleans, it sounds like they're going to be displaced. They're displaced right now. And they may be displaced start the season as well too. So they're kind of working against that. I'm seeing something like they're not going to play a home game until like almost midway through the season potentially. And the NFC South is just really tricky to navigate right now. You know, you've got Tampa Bay that's light years ahead of everyone, and then you've got teams with shakeups at quarterbacks, and you've got overhauls and coaching staffs here. The Saints' season win total was at 9 games. Now, a lot of their odds have been pulled off the board because of the whole situation with the hurricane and them not being able to play within New Orleans. But you just look at it, look at their schedule, the way it did line up, and I found it very, very tough to crack 9 wins given how the slate laid out, and it may be even tougher now. You had 4 teams with double-digit win totals. You had 1 at 9.5. This is how their schedule kind of lays out here, and I don't even see them making the playoffs as well. So if you look at the teams that are ahead of them in the post or in kind of the NFC pecking order, you have 4 teams with double digit win totals. You have 1 at 9.5. You have 2 others with 9 wins, and that's Minnesota and Dallas. And I'm high on Minnesota and Dallas this year. So I don't even know if the Saints make the postseason this year. Now, especially even with their, you know, the situation coming and shaking up everything, all of their plans are going to have to practice in different facilities. Players are basically going to have to live away from home. They have all that family issues and stuff worried about as well with the hurricane. So, you know, that's tough off the field stuff to worry about just before you even hear the whistle. So, with a lot of the Saints odds right now, they're not up. They're just not up. So it's going to be tough to measure this team.
Moving on to Carolina, and I like what Matt Rhule did in his first year. We got Christian McCaffrey coming back, but we do have Sam Darnold now in at quarterback. Is this going to be old Sam Darnold, or is it out of the Jets? Give me a new life, Sam Darnold.
Yeah, that's a big question for them. And with Brady as their offense coordinator, he's fantastic, and Rhule's a fantastic coach. So Darnold doesn't have that excuse of like, well, it was Adam Gase's fault, or I had crappy skill players around me, because Carolina's got some pretty good skill players, especially guys like McCaffrey, and he gets to rekindle his romance with Robbie Anderson as well in Carolina. If you look at the Panthers, it's kind of a tale of two seasons for them. I went under their 7.5 win total, which I thought was a little bit too much. And really it's a tale of two seasons for them. If they're going to get to 8 wins, they got to do it in a hurry here. They play 4 of their first 7 games at home. They have winnable matchups against New York, both New York teams, actually Philadelphia and Houston. And then they have competitive games versus New Orleans, who may be, you know, all over the place. We don't know. They play Dallas, which, you know, you don't know what Dallas is going to roll out. They have Atlanta coming and Minnesota as well. Both of those games, they're visiting Atlanta. Minnesota's at home. But then in the back end of the schedule, it's going to be really, really tough. You're facing New England, Arizona, Washington, Miami, Buffalo, Tampa Bay twice, and then New Orleans in the Big Easy. They should be back into the Superdome by then. And they're an underdog of +6 or higher in their final 4 games. So if you don't have the 8 wins to get over the season win total by then, it's just not going to happen.
Let's talk about the Super Bowl champion Bucks. And I always remember the hardest thing to do in sports is to go back to back.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not surprising. You know, you look at Tampa Bay, they bring everyone back, all 22 starters on both sides of the ball, and they're point spread favorites in 16 of their 17 games this season. Except for a week 3 cross-country trip to LA to play the Rams. They're 1-point pups in that game. Defending Super Bowl champs have not had a great track record, mainly because, you know, the point spreads are inflated and the public is going to play them, especially if Tampa Bay comes out strong. You're going to see that. So since 2010, reigning big game winners, just 90, 81, and 5 ATS. And you may say, well, it's 90 and 81. But, I mean, we're talking about the top teams in football here. You expect them to have a much better record. But, you know, this is Tampa Bay and it is Tom Brady. If you want to look at one of those teams that came off a Super Bowl win and kept covering Brady, the 2017 Patriots team, they went 11-5 ATS. So very good team. If we want to talk about Tampa Bay and myself being a Dallas fan, we got to talk about that opener. And it's another fun trend to follow as well. Two defending Super Bowl champs, 14-6-1 ATS in week one of the following season since 2000. That spread was under 7. Now it's jumped up to 7.5. It's going to bounce around a bit there come next Thursday. Really exciting opening game. But Super Bowl winners, generally a pretty good bet in week one.
And wrapping up the division, we've got the Atlanta Falcons, new coaching staff, and no Julio Jones.
Yeah, I mean, they got an overhaul. They got rid of Quinn there at, not even halfway through the season last year. And they bring in Arthur Smith, which is a great coaching hire for them. A lot of people are high on Atlanta this year. They won only 4 games last year, but fingers kind of point. They had 10 one-score games Atlanta played in last year, so a lot of optimism. They lost 8 of those 10 one-score games, so I mean, people are expecting that to kind of flip around and them to win those tight ones. Atlanta's a favorite in 7 of its 17 games this year. Pick 'em posted for week 12 in Jacksonville, and they're laying a field goal or less in 4 of those contests. So, you know, this is a team that's kind of on the fence. Odds makers are lukewarm on them. Short spreads, though, have not been kind to Atlanta backers for a while now. And the team is just 19-28-1 ATS. That's just covering 41% of the time, with spreads between -3 and pick 'em since Matt Ryan became the QB1 there in 2008. So, you know, there's a lot of upside for this Atlanta team, but I don't think losing Julio Jones is too much of a loss. I think Ridley can step up and be the man there.
Calvin Ridley is certainly the man. All right, let's wrap this up with the NFC West. And we got the 49ers, a team that I think most people are higher on from what I'm auditing the narrative that we're hearing standpoint.
Sorry, which one are we talking about again?
The 49ers.
Oh, the 49ers. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think the preseason may have proved us wrong, too, when it comes to this quarterback situation. They could be throwing – it could be like the Florida – what was it, Chris Leak and Tim Tebow? They would kind of roll them out all the time. And that's kind of what it reminded me of. They're point spread favorites in 13 of their 17 games in 2021. And then they have the potential to be the chalk in 15 outings as well, too, because there's a pick'em on the board for the Week 3 battle versus the Packers. Kyle Shanahan, though, just 18-1 ATS as a favorite since taking over the head coach role in 2017. And like I said, there's going to be a lot of lofty spreads, especially if this team gets rolling and avoids the injury problems that gave them so much trouble there last year. But you got to pay attention to the point spread when you're betting 49ers totals here too. So we mentioned Shanahan's kind of poor record as a regular season favorite since 2017. The Niners were also 17-18-1 over under in those games as a favorite as well too. So maybe fade the Niners and play the over if you're not a big Kyle Shanahan fan.
All right, so now let's move it over to Arizona. And my big question mark is head coach Cliff Kingsbury. I just don't know if I trust him, and I don't. They've got a lot of good things there. Kyler Murray, one of the best young quarterbacks. You've got DeAndre Hopkins, but they also bring in J.J. Watt, which is the very shiny object.
Yeah, they brought in some good veteran leadership as well, too, which is good for a locker room with a young coach and a young quarterback. You need those veteran guys to kind of, you know, be the foundation or the glue of that team. And I think books are kind of lukewarm on them as well, too. According to the look-ahead lines, you see 10 of Arizona's 17 games have spreads of a field goal or less. Arizona's just 6-9 ATS when set between -3 and +3. So those games with really short spreads, they haven't been a great bet in the 2 years under Kingsbury. The week 2 home opener with the Vikings coming to town. That's a 4:05 kickoff. The Cardinals are giving a field goal to Minnesota, which is playing in its second straight road game. Arizona 8-3 straight up, 6-5 ATS, and 4-7 over under in home openers. So that is their home opener there. They've been a pretty good bet kicking things off. And last year they had to share that home with the 49ers.
Moving over to Seattle, and as long as Russell Wilson is quarterback, they will seem to always have the opportunity to be in the game.
Yeah, I'm not as high on Seattle as some other people here, and I look at them, I just see them as a lucky team here. So you see 7 of their 2020 victories came via a touchdown or less, and that's something that we've seen with this team a lot here. They've had 16 of their 23 wins over the past 2 seasons have been by 7 or fewer points. And how many times have we seen Russ pull some of these plays out of his ass that you know, turns the tide? To me, you know, it's wild to think Seattle, if you look at their look-ahead lines, they're going to be a favorite in only one of their first 6 games on the season. And there's also a pick'em mixed in there, too. And if there is a slow start for them, if they have a rough start, it could kind of snowball into something. They play 3 of their first 4 games on the road. They've played 4 of 6 away from home to start the year. And then, you know, they put some of that Russell Wilson drama to bed in the offseason. But once you start losing games, that stuff kind of kicks up. And maybe that's something that could serve as a distraction here if Seattle starts slow out of the gate.
All right, the final team we've got are the Rams. Matthew Stafford is now in for Jared Goff, seeing them on a lot of people's Super Bowl list, yourself included.
Yeah, I do like them. I like them to win the conference at least plus 600. Like I said, 26-1, you can get Rams versus Chiefs in the Super Bowl. That's kind of a rematch of that amazing Monday Night Football game from three or four seasons ago. The Rams are point spread favorites in 13 of their 17 games in 2021. There's one pickup on the board as well, too. And despite having the 10th toughest schedule out there, they're dealing with a season win total of 10.5. And five of those games are as chalk on the road. And McVay is 13-10 ATS when giving points as a visitor. We look at Los Angeles, 16-8 straight up, 16-7-1 ATS versus NFC foes the past two seasons. So they handle their conference opponents all right. However, when the schedule does throw in those random AFC games, just 3-5 straight up in ATS versus non-conference opponents in that same time frame.
Jason, that was a ton of awesomeness, and I am so excited for this NFL season. Where can everybody connect with you?
I was loving my camera was moving all over the place while I was doing this. Yeah, that was a lot of info, man. That was good. No, you can connect with me on Twitter at CoversJLo, and also, too, I mean, CoverCovers.com. All NFL season, our team is going to have a ton of great NFL info out there.
And I want to hear from you. Who is one team you are higher on than most, and who is one team you are lower on than most? You can hit me up on Twitter at Rob Cressy. Also, make sure to tag at Covers. And remember, if you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money.
The funkadelic devil hits you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rump. If you like the way the sound pump, pump it in your back trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.